Hello and welcome to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all kinds of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. We're talking season 1, episode 5, The Cabin. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm really good. This episode was traumatic, but I'm really good.
Are you ready for a games night, Stuart, or a games night party?
Always. Am I ready to be the same as David and be really kind of neurotic and be like, no, you must play the game the way I want you to play it? Perhaps. I'm not the best person to have a games night, if I'm going to be honest.
I think the thing is I don't ever want to do a games night with strangers. That sounds like probably my nightmare.
Mm-hmm. There are weird things where you can like meet new people at like games nights, and it seems like an absolute nightmare because I think games bring out the best and the worst in people at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you don't want to be meeting new people like that. I don't want people to be seeing me like that.
Yeah, and you don't want to play with a guy like Eric who like doesn't even understand the rules of like charades or whatever they were playing. It wasn't charades. Yeah. What were they playing?
We stick the name in
heads up or whatever.
Yes, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the one that Ellen made into an app.
Ugh, yeah,
to go.
Yeah.
Christ, yeah. That's a deep pull, isn't it? But how does he not understand that game? Everyone knows that game, right?
I think this is why Stevie brought him. She's trolling David this episode, but we'll get into all of that and more.
Yes.
Before we do, don't forget to subscribe, Talkin' Shit without a G, S-C-H-I-T-T. Follow us on social media. We're on YouTube if you want to watch us, watch our beautiful faces talk about this show. And of course, you could also email us podcast@talkinshit.com. If you want to, we would adore if you gave us 5 stars because it helps people find the podcast. And we'll shout you out if you do. Stuart, I know we got a review actually that I was going to just pull up right now.
What?
We did. And it was really nice and it made my day. And isn't that just the best? We got a review from RJBEJ. Rich Bedgener.
Rich Bedgener, my Rich favorite Bedgener! Person in the world if it's a good review.
They said simply the best. I've listened to both of them separately on Post Your Recaps podcasts, and they're great. Love the witty banter and easy rapport they have immediately. Super excited to be on this journey with my favorite sitcom of all time. So nice.
Your money is in the post. Thank you very much.
So yeah, if anybody wants to leave us a 5-star review, of course, we would greatly appreciate it. But yeah, let's start talking about The Cabin because this episode, Stuart, is one that when I see the name, I know immediately. Like, I remember exactly what happens beat for beat in this episode. Mm-hmm. What are your just like overall thoughts on it?
Totally not what I was expecting. I think based on what I said last week, that I was expecting maybe horror vibes.
Yeah.
And horror of a different type. Let's just go with that. But yeah, this one, I can see why this is a bit of a standout episode. The premise is just, I mean, the opening is just horrendous, but then just it's so slapstick, it's so kind of like simple premise, just well executed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. Before we dive too deep into it, let me give a quick little recap on exactly what happens in this episode in case people didn't watch. David has a not so good morning when he walks in on his parents in a very compromising position. Johnny has had enough and tries to get Roland to fix their door. And Roland, surprisingly, possibly, graciously offers Johnny and Moira their cabin for the weekend. The Roses are just desperate enough to take him up on the offer. But due to Roland's unnecessarily confusing driving directions, Johnny and Moira accidentally break into Bob and Gwen's cabin and have sex in their bed while Bob and Gwen are listening in the living room. In their absence, David takes the opportunity for a quiet night alone in his parents' room. It doesn't last very long, as Alexis can't sit in her own silence for more than a few minutes. Very relatable. Alexis mm-hmm. wants to have a party, but David will only agree to a small game night with just 6 guests. David asks for Stevie's help in finding the guests to, quote unquote, get it. And of course, Stevie invites Eric, who most assuredly does not get it. He doesn't. The games night turns into a full-on party when Alexis invites randos off the street. Eventually, David does join back the party after some coaxing from Stevie. And Johnny attempts to install a lock on the motel door, which Alexis just rips off in about 0.5 seconds. So that's our episode.
Worst handyman ever.
Oh, geez, Mrs. Rose.
Don't. This is the thing. The show opens, obviously, with a bit of a traumatic event for David. But thankfully, we don't get to see it. Mm-hmm. I wish that was afforded to us at the end with this voice, because what on earth is that role play?
Well, it
is
kind
that what
of,
they always
it,
do?
And I can't imagine. No, it did give me like Best in Show vibes, though. Like it
really
kind of
did,
right?
It's so his same people, character kind of vibe, isn't it?
It really felt like it. So we covered Best in Show over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with Sarah, talking about Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara in that film. And his character in that, I can't remember his name, but he has like two left feet, these buck teeth, like kind of gave those vibes the same as Eddie, the handyman, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was just horrendous. But if that's what does it for Moira, I mean, shocking.
I mean, Moira has a
weird
voice, so...
Moira's voice, okay, yeah, it is a little weird, but it's not like that.
It's not like that.
That was like, oh, the kind of the twang of it just kind of cuts through everything.
Jeez.
Oh, thank. And honestly, I'm willing to like skip ahead and just give MVP right now to Alexis just for saving us from that.
Incredible. So let's start off with like the very, you know, the very first scene that we get. Has this ever happened to you? I really hope not. I for your sake.
Thankfully not. No, I think like most people in the world, I kind of never even want to approach that concept. I was made in a test tube, a stork brought me here. Like, we don't need to go into that kind of like detail with things. How about you?
No, yeah.
Hoping not.
No, this has never happened to me. Thankfully, my parents had locks on their doors. And, you know, that's that. But David isn't as lucky. And yeah, this is the impetus for this weekend away for Johnny and Moira, which this to me is kind of, I don't know, this feels like the first episode where I am like absolutely in love with both storylines that are happening. Like, I find both the games night and the cabin so funny in their own unique ways. And I also love, I don't know, Stuart, something I really like about ensemble casts is when they kind of break off into different pairs. And so getting the like Alexis David pair, and then of course the Stevie David pair and the Moira and Johnny pair. Like, I don't know. I really like when a show is kind of separated in that way.
Yeah. And they do it really well. Like, kind of, you get Johnny going to see Roland. Like, it's very much a kind of like one-on-one scene that they like hop between all the time. And it's very rare that you kind of get them all into a big group. And that's what kind of leads to these situations of like circumstantial kind of comedy that comes about, like kind of Johnny clearly not listening to Roland's instructions. Like, Johnny and Moira then kind of just blissfully going into the cabin. You've got Stevie and David planning the whole party. And then inevitably, David, like, even before that, David and Alexis talking about the prospect of a games night that Alexis is just not hearing and is just hearing party. Mm-hmm. And it's just there booping him on the nose going, yep, so much fun.
Just a small, and if it turns into something else, it turns into something else. He's like,
how
no.
David didn't see that, I'm just shocked. You would think that David is surely used to this behavior by now.
Yeah, I have to imagine that, like, David just had more options for escaping in the past, right? Like, you're in a much larger place. You had other rooms you could go into besides the one, like, literally right next door. Yeah, but Alexis, I mean, you could tell from the jump that Alexis is going to be throwing a larger party. And I love her saying, like, I miss having acquaintances surrounding me that just adored me. I miss that so much.
Don't be all.
And so she's going to throw this party. She wants an actual party, like with drinking games, with hanging out, with getting drunk. And David, I feel like, Stuart, you and I probably both fall more in the David camp of not really wanting a rager, enjoying like six people at a games night, because otherwise it gets too yelly. Like, sounds ideal. And I mean, Stuart, correct me if I'm wrong, but tell me that you also understood what David meant when he said, will she get it?
Completely.
Yeah.
You don't want the wrong people at the games night. It's like vetting people to come play D&D with you, or just having a small little gathering. If you invite the wrong person, the whole vibe of the entire night is off. So you've got to have that right vibe kind of like match. The moment like David was even broaching the subject, I was like, I know exactly what you're about, David. I'm here for you. I'm there. I'm not going to invite anyone that's not going to fit. But no, Stevie, the absolute chaos gremlin that she is like, yeah, I'll bring Eric.
Well, the thing is, too, I think the people that David wants to invite kind of don't really exist in Schitt's Creek, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know of anybody, I guess, that we've met yet that would fall into the bucket of getting it and, like, wanting to participate in a games night. Because even Mutt and Twyla, I'm like, they don't get it. Like, mm-hmm. They shouldn't have been here.
I was going to say, like, maybe Mutt and Twyla might be the kind to get it eventually. But they're the kind of people that you kind of, they've got to get used to David first. They've got to understand what is going to, like, kind of trigger David into, like, having an absolute meltdown over not playing the game right kind of thing, and then to accommodate that. But, yeah, as it stands, I mean, Mutt, first off, trolling David, being like, how do I write 10 names on this little piece of paper? Hilarious. But then also just Twyla being so earnest, turning up with a pie that she doesn't know whether it's got meat in it or not, because it's a 50-50 pie. Alexis just tossing it away. Like, Twyla is the nicest person in the world.
Oh, I'm she's so this, kind.
Like, completely. And I
she's
like
she's so kind, but, like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Niceness is not a requirement for you to show up to a games night that I'm throwing. Like, it's really low on the priority list, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would rather someone that's Teresa? Good for games. Yeah, that was bad. Like, how do you not get that?
No way I would want Twyla on my team, ever.
Well, it's difficult to hear clues when they are literally being screamed at you.
Well, I love, I think
I
Alexis
want to be
like,
in David's camp for that, but Alexis I can't
says,
abide
stop
that.
Stop yelling at her, and David's like, that's the point of the game! It's like relatable.
Nothing is
yeah,
part of okay. it.
Ugh, I get yelly when I play games, you know?
Shocking.
Yeah. But I too am like a David. I think it would surprise no one to hear that I am extremely competitive, and I would be so beyond frustrated if I had Twyla on my team and could not get her to say Mother Teresa.
I mean, bless her though. Like, part of me, I'm not sure if I'm just being too forgiving because she's not on my team and I wasn't there at the games. Like, maybe I would feel differently if she was on my team. But I'm like, no, she's adorable. And I kind of just want to be like, no, don't yell at her.
I'd be yelling at her, I think. But I also think, like, the Stevie and David stuff is going so strong through 5 episodes. You know, like, they already have a back and forth where he knows that she is like him and she is also competitive and that this is something that is up her alley. But and she knows how to needle him, how to push his buttons. And that is by bringing the character of Eric to this game night, who he looks lost, honestly. Like, he looks like he just wandered in off the street.
I think he not only lost for the evening, but I think lost in life. Like, Eric doesn't know what the heck is going on around him at any time, I don't think. Whether or not he's stoned or whether or not it's just his personality, but I get a sense that maybe Stevie wasn't the most attentive babysitter and maybe Eric drank bleach at some point during his childhood, because there's something up with that kid.
I was going to say, it's funny you said that, because I was thinking to myself that he feels like the kid who's like in the back of the class, like eating paste while everyone else is like doing stuff. Like, he looks like a kid who eats paste. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I connected with David in that, like, yes, wanting some alone time. Also then games night sounds good. And then it turning into something that you do not want it to turn into and being like, okay, I'm out now. Like, it wouldn't really surprise me if I had a vein that like twitched when I got angry that I just don't know exists.
Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about the kind of like twitching going on, Jess. No, I totally understand. And like, to be in David's shoes, like kind of expecting a low-key event, especially considering that you want to savor this weekend. Johnny and Moira have gone away, and it's like the first moment of kind of a way of getting some space to yourself for a short period of time to get away from Alexis's mess as well. Oh dear God, let's talk about the mess just for a second.
Oh,
how horrendous
brutal.
Is that? Like,
there's no nothing. I mean, to give her like an ounce of grace with it, they are in a motel room with like probably one closet, so there isn't a ton of space for her to put things away. But like, it looks like her suitcase exploded. It looks horrible.
Given what we saw last week, I imagine that probably David is taking up all of the closet space as well, because he's already like expanded out into the additional room. He'd already tried to go into Johnny and Moira's room as well. So maybe Alexis. Maybe it's the fact that Alexis just wouldn't be using it regardless.
She just throws her clothes on the floor. She's like, what's a closet?
Yeah, she's like she's an absolute floor closet person and is there to expect someone to pick it up after her. But like, as much as maybe David is taking advantage of the whole closet situation, he's coping. Like, David Seidler room is immaculate. Yeah. That's what we want, but yeah. No. How can you not want to escape that?
Yeah, I don't blame him. Although I don't know that my first instinct would be like, I'm going to go lay on this bed that I literally just saw my parents doing the nasty on, you know?
Yeah, unless I'd had Stevie in there, like, kind of making sure that it had been cleaned beforehand.
Deep cleaning.
Like, I'm going to
lie. That place has never seen a deep clean.
True, you need to power wash it just yeah. Take a UV light and just make sure.
So yeah, speaking of Johnny and Moira, what did you think of Roland offering their cabin up? You know, I mean, we obviously didn't end up seeing Roland's cabin, so I think it'd also be fun to kind of speculate on what that might look like.
Yeah, considering the restrictions on gadgets that can be plugged in, the hidden restraints everywhere, and I was like, that's a kinky cabin. But the him offering it, really out of character, I thought. Like, kind of, I was there, I was thinking, that's actually a nice thing to offer.
And not only that, but so it's for the whole weekend, and he let Johnny borrow his truck too, so it's like you're offering the truck and the cabin. Like, that's actually really kind to do, even if it's because you think that like Johnny's marriage is on the brink of divorce or something.
Well, that's the thing, is like I think Roland, he's offering it because he does feel sorry for Johnny and Moira.
Yeah,
like even Jocelyn comes out and is like, oh, I knew something was up.
Like, yeah.
Johnny says, so defending it, going, no, nothing's wrong. And she's like, yeah, like, but also, Roland and Jocelyn, they're at it like rabbits by the sound of things as well.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what are you down to, once or twice a day or something like that? Yeah. Now we know why Jocelyn married Roland, truly. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're both Roland into fucks. Some kinky shit. Like, they got restraints up in a cabin. Like, there's something up. Okay, there's a show called Shameless, and there's a woman in Shameless who has, like, she has a lot of tchotchkes. She has a lot of, like, collectible things. And she's also into some really interesting BDSM sort of stuff. And that's what the vibes of, like, Jocelyn and Roland give me. It's like, what if the trinkets are involved? You know what I mean? Like, what if it's a tchotchke sort of situation?
Are you looking at all those porcelain figurines and just wondering which ones have been up Roland's ass?
Yes! 1,000% yes! That's, it just horrendous. Feels like that's what it is.
That's horrid.
Mm-hmm. I think it's true. Now, I did want to bring up something to you, Stuart, because, again, neither of us are Canadian. This is a very Canadian show. There was a very Canadian reference made on this week's episode. A reference to a tickle trunk. Do you know what a tickle trunk is?
No.
It sounds sexual. It's not. So a tickle
trunk.
How is
a tickle trunk not sexual?
Because it's a children's thing, actually. Okay. So there was this show on in Canada from 1967 to 1996. And there was a character named Mr. Dress-Up. And he was pretty much like the lower budget Mr. Rogers. And he had what was called, the tickle trunk, which was just like this big trunk that had flowers on it. And there was like new costumes and stuff in it every episode.
Right. Okay. That sounds a little better than what I thought perhaps it could have been. But yeah, can't say I've ever heard of that, if I'm honest.
I'd be so shocked if there weren't like some sort of sex toy company capitalizing on the name Tickle Trunk, you know?
I mean, if anything, like, you've got your role play going on. You're going to have your different outfits. The tickle trunk, bring that out. And you've got all your, like, your different outfits. You've got, like, a nurse's outfit. You've got the priest's one.
You have the handyman's outfit route. For Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Voice not included, Rose. Hopefully.
So, yeah, I just thought that was a really funny reference that the only reason I know of the tickle trunk is because I'm friends with a decent amount of Canadians, and it has come up in the past because I was like, excuse me, back up a second. There's a thing called the tickle trunk, and I need more information. So, yeah, of course, Roland is the one who makes the reference, and immediately you're like, this is some kinky shit. Like, it's more than just restraints. He has a whole trunk dedicated to his and Jocelyn's nasty affairs.
I mean, good on him. I mean, if he's punching above his weight as he is with Jocelyn, take advantage of it.
Yeah. We could probably poke some holes in, like, the, okay, Johnny didn't think to call Roland, and, like, oh, your key's not under the mat. But, like, also, if this cabin is very remote, it's possible he didn't have cell service.
Completely possible. But also, like, Johnny is the asshole here. Because Roland, yeah, Roland's like spieling off all of these instructions of where to go, and it is complex, and it is convoluted, and it is not really helpful. But Johnny should be paying attention. And Johnny is so flippant. Even Moira questions it when he goes, yep, got it. And it's like, you are the dick here. And you have the audacity to break into what he thinks is Roland's house, knock all of his kitchen shit flying, and call him a moron at the same time. Like, Johnny, come on, man. Get yourself together.
Yeah. It's so funny, though. Like, because I remember watching this episode for the first time and thinking, oh, yeah, Roland probably didn't have a key under the mat. Like, it didn't even dawn on me that it was possible that it could have been someone else's cabin. Not even to the point where we see a picture of Jocelyn, Roland, and then Bob and Gwen, whose actual cabin it is.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that completely threw me, because I thought the moment Roland was given the instructions, I was like, immediately they're going to get the wrong cabin. That I kind of like saw that. But then the moment the photo turned up, I was like, oh, okay, maybe Roland just is an ass and just did it wrong. But brilliant setup. Brilliant setup for like a bit of misdirection and a great gag, because when Bob and Gwen are there just reading quietly, I laughed so much.
I love when they say it took you a little bit to get started. We didn't want to interrupt you. It's just like, so instead you just sat in the living room and listened to them have sex while you read? Like, that's better?
I don't think they were necessarily listening. At least I hope they weren't. I think
they definitely were, because I think Gwen comments on like comments to Moira, like, you're good or something like that. I was listening, and we know because it works with the fact that when Johnny and Moira are done, Moira's like, oh, I'm gonna go get a drink, and he's like, you've done enough.
He's like, I can't see out of one eye. But she's just laying there like she looks as if she's just accomplished everything, and then when he goes out and they do listen in, I'm just there going, I hope they weren't like intentionally listening. I hope it's just the thing that they were like, they can't not hear it if you are in the other room. I mean, I can't imagine the cabin is well kind of like sound insulated.
You're definitely hearing it. Well, especially too, I love the idea that to Bob and Gwen, this was the kind thing to do, to let them finish first and then be like, hey, what are you doing here? You broke my corkscrew. Which, also, how are we doing? What are we doing with the corkscrew?
Do we want to know?
I mean,
do we really want to know? I mean, I kind of do, but I kind of don't. Corkscrews are sharp.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Nope.
And they try to leave, like, and go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like the most Canadian thing in the world, isn't it? Like, if this was in America, like that would be kicking off. But because it's Canada, it's like, we'll let you finish, we'll be polite, we'll carry on and just let you get to the end.
Ooh. It's so funny. I just, this whole episode felt like every bit worked, every, like, it was timed perfectly, you know what I mean? Like, every, it was so immaculately done. Every part cracked me up. Bob and Gwen, just the visual of them just sitting on the couch reading a magazine is, and Johnny with the audacity to be like, this is Roland's cabin. How do you know? You've never been to Roland's cabin.
Yeah. I'd maybe, like, you know, when someone is telling you it's their cabin, maybe kind of take their word for it, considering that, you know, they got in and they seemingly didn't climb through the kitchen window to get in.
Yeah. And when they try to leave and the door is locked is just iconic. It's like, we usually do it to keep people out.
Moira assuming that they're being held captive. She's like, what do you want?
She says, sorry, I don't know how to make a bed.
Yes, of course she doesn't.
It's so ridiculous. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's perfect. And then I do love the end scene where we get like Johnny installing one of those like chain locks. And it's like, it's kind of on the wrong way. Like, it's intended for when the door opens in, not when the door opens out. And so then when Alexis opens the door, it doesn't go in so that the chain blocks it. She just rips the whole thing off because Moira, turns out, took her face mask and she was not happy about it.
Like, what? There is clearly another key lock on there as well. Like, I don't understand why they're not giving over the key. Like, maybe Roland is just messing with them and is, like, making it so that they can't kind of have control over that whatsoever. But, yeah, Alexis just ripping it off. It either speaks to her determination to get that mask or to Johnny being absolutely terrible at DIY. And I think it's probably a combination of the two.
Definitely. I feel like Johnny really is not a good handyman. And Alexis is just like powering through. And also, very bold of Alexis to just open the door to her parents' bedroom, considering what David walked in on. Knock.
Yeah. Alexis just isn't learning from what is happening. And although she seems traumatized by it earlier on, like where she won't even enter the room until David goes, "It's okay, they're done."
Yeah, David repeatedly walking in on them, like hugging and kissing. And he's like, "What's wrong with you?" And Moira calling him a dirty peeping Tom.
Yes.
He's like, there are psychology books that would say that's not great that you just called your child that. David, are you a dirty peeping Tom?
Oh my god. And then when he like chastises her, like because she once took the wrong baby home from preschool, that was the funniest moment in the whole like episode. I was crying laughter because when she like comes back, it's like, "Alexis, look Chinese. How many times must I defend myself?"
Yeah. It's like, gosh, I feel like Alexis, like they didn't know her middle name last episode, and now she's they took the wrong kid home from daycare or whatever.
Sometimes we wonder why Alexis is the way she is, and I think we're seeing it like on screen. This is, yeah, poor Alexis, but then also maybe not.
Yeah, no one. I mean, now they're poor, but you know they've lived lives. Anything else you could think of that we should discuss from the episode before we move on to some feedback?
I mean, like, oh gosh, what on earth was that? We've gone through a lot of it. I like the whole Stevie and David just hanging out at the coffee shop and planning the whole situation. The moment like that was happening, I was like, yes, that friendship is building and I'm loving it. I love the, what was it, Dane? Like the
Random guy that with a keg.
Like, just people just bring kegs all the time for parties, apparently. Is that how it is done? I don't know. Maybe I'm being very British here.
No, I would say in America, like, if you were throwing a big house party, yes. Or, like, a dorm party. You know what I mean? Like, a college party, there's going to be a keg. Big house parties, yes. But it also feels very, to me, very, like, early 20s vibes. Like, I don't know a ton of people that would throw a party nowadays, like, my age range, that would get a keg. Unless it was like a real rager.
I love the idea of like a really formal kind of like dinner party and then just someone turns up with a keg. Tracking. Yeah.
My mom told me a story once that when she was definitely underage, I think, her parents were out of town or something and they were going to get a keg and they had to get a wagon and wheel the keg back somewhere. And it was like this whole I'm like, "Mom, you went through so much trouble just to have a keg." And she's like, "Yeah, those were the days." And you had to bring the keg back. Like you have to, you get the keg filled and then you return the empty barrel when you're done. Cause there's like a deposit on it and everything. So it's not an easy process. And you have to have like a keg tap, like kegs are a thing.
Yeah. It seems like the worst way to accommodate underage drinking. Like, would you not just like just all get the cheapest bottle of spirits ever? Like optimal underage drinking here. Like,
so I think kegs are cheaper when you like price it out because it's like, you know, amount per cup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's beer, it's cheap, it's easy. I don't know if they're easier to get in terms of being underage. Like I am not a beer drinker. I don't like beer. I've not really had a ton to do with kegs as a result. But I think it's just cheaper. I don't think like, I think liquor certainly will mess you up quicker. But you'd have to get a lot of bottles of liquor to do that. And I think it would get a little more expensive.
Yeah. Fair play.
Yeah. Do you have PBRs in the UK? Do you know what a PBR is? Pabst Blue Ribbon It is a type of beer that is so dirt cheap and is like very much what college students drink, because it was like you could get like a $2 PBR.
Right. So we've got similar like cheap beer over here that is like kind of trash. You've got like the staple brands like Carling, which is just basically piss water as well. But we also have the absolute worst of the worst. I'm not even sure if it's even around. White Lightning, which is like what you
White
would
White Lightning. That sounds like what a nerdy cider. Kid would want his like superhero name to be. I'm White Lightning.
Exactly. But like we have that is like a hard cider, I think you guys would call it.
Oh, I love hard
and
cider.
But it's super, super strong. And it's like sometimes teenagers will get it just to get like effed up. But yeah, no real person.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what Four Loko is, right? Like, did you guys probably didn't have Four Loko? Four Loko no. was very much like a blink and you miss it fad, because it was basically an energy drink mixed with alcohol. It eventually got like taken off the market because of just like how dangerous that sort of mm-hmm. substance would be. But yeah, people used to drink Four Lokos. And the other thing I remember being a big thing in like the college days was it was called Edward 40 Hands. And so you'd tape like 40s, you know, 40 ounces to your hands, and yeah, Edward 40
yeah,
Hands.
I've seen that as an infamous, very millennial video of Mamrie Hart and Tyler Oakley playing that.
Yeah.
They just get more and more drunk as the day goes on. Yeah. Thankfully we avoided that. We had just similar kind of like stupid drinking games that like follow you through uni. There's like the funniest one was the Wizard Staff one, where you try and like drink as many cans as possible and then tape them all together, and then the person that's got the biggest staff of cans is like the wizard, which is
so dumb.
It really is. But then you talk about like the energy drink alcohol. Up in Scotland there's a thing called Buckfast, which is
Buckfast?
Yeah, so it's fortified wine, but it's like caffeinated.
Horrible.
It's
the
worst thing in the world.
It sounds like the worst thing in the world. I just don't ever like I've tried one energy drink in my life. For people that know me, I should just not have energy drinks. Like, I have plenty in the supply. You know, I have plenty in the tank. I don't need the extra. And I lost my mind. Like, I was at work and I was so tired. I think this is what happened. I had an allergic reaction to something. So I took Benadryl because someone was like, it won't make you drowsy. It did. And so then I drank a Red Bull, and then I worked in food service. So I zoomed around that whole place. I cleaned like every surface because I was like fully off my rocker, like very high energy. And then I crashed like an hour later. Wow.
I mean, who would have thought that like down or up, eventually they're going to cancel each other out and something's going to crash. That's wild.
Yep. But yeah, let's get into some feedback here. We got a really funny question from Jared. If you're feeling risque, what position was so bold to try at 8 a.m.?
This is horrendous to ask. How can we fix this?
Oh, I already had an idea of what I thought it was.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm looking at the hints, right? These are the clues that we have from the episode. We know that when they did go to the cabin, we know Moira was really good, and we know that she did a lot of work because she was like, it was what inferred by Johnny. So I feel like that could be a hint towards their overall like sexual position preference. And what I'm going to say is I think Moira was doing like a reverse cowgirl situation at 8 a.m.
I wouldn't say I could see that, but I probably shouldn't say that. No, I can't see that. I can't envisage that. No, stop.
Oh, geez, Mrs. Rolls.
I was thinking that perhaps from David's reaction, I think anything other than like under the covers missionary would be an adventurous expedition, because it's his parents. It's like
fair.
You don't like kind of imagine them even knowing about reverse cowgirl, let alone doing it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe it would just be anything but. But I think the reverse cowgirl, I mean, that kind of like makes a bit of sense. You can imagine we're really like kind of getting into it, like playing up the whoo, like
exactly.
Oh my god,
yeah, incredible. Stuart, we also got some feedback from Emily. and I love that she calls out Jocelyn's sick burn on Johnny and Moira's relationship. I wouldn't want your relationship to get any worse.
Yeah. That's so funny, considering that, like, Johnny is very much thinking of himself as being better than Roland and Jocelyn and stuff. And to know that Jocelyn and Roland look down on them and, like, oh, they're having problems. Such a good feeling to, like, see Johnny get slapped down a little bit.
Yeah. Do you agree with Emily that this is Stevie's best episode so far?
I think so. For, like, not only being there for David when David has a bit of a meltdown, she goes and coaxes him back to the party, but then also being the one to kind of trigger it as well. Like, inviting Eric was just a stroke of genius. And she says, maybe not the best joke. Well, I disagree.
It was really funny. I think this episode or last episode where she is helping David with his clothes, I feel like is also a good contender for Stevie's best episode. But both of them are really great and just shows, like, the slow progression of Stevie and David's friendship. You know what I mean? Like, I like that they're not immediately best friends by any means, but there is, like, this back and forth, this banter between them now where she can play a joke on him by bringing, you know, Eric in. Emily also noted that Eric gives her Oren from Parks and Rec vibes, which 100% agree with you, Emily. Stuart, you have no idea what that means, but there is a character who is just like Eric, who just kind of, like, stands there and looks a little weird and you're like, why are you staring at me? Like, what are you doing? You're creeping me out, you know? Similar kind of vibe. He's a little bit more vampirish, I would say. Vampiric? Either way. Looks more like a vampire, Oren does, than Eric. But, yeah.
Wonder if we're gonna get a vampire in this season. I doubt it. Doesn't seem the kind of show.
Doesn't seem like that kind of show. Are you sure?
No. I don't think so.
Emily also pointed out that unlike most sitcoms or, you know, family shows, we didn't get a scene where Johnny and Moira come home and see that the kids have thrown a party. I imagine that, like, David kicked everyone out by like 10:30 and had it all cleaned up anyway.
Yeah, I can't imagine it going on that long. Unless, I don't know. I think kind of in not seeing it, it allows us to kind of, like, speculate on what might have happened. And, like, there is a world in which David did kind of go, right, okay, that's enough, and then carted everyone out at, like, really early. But then there's also another world where he went out there, got a little bit tipsy, and then just embraced the night and actually ended up having fun. It's true. I like to live in that world a little bit. I like the idea that David kind of comes to love Schitt's Creek a little bit more. Maybe not love it, but, like, find something enjoyable about it. Yeah, even for one evening. So I do kind of feel, Rob, that we didn't see at least how much of a rager it did become.
Yeah. We know that there was a stain on his bedding or something like that, I think Stevie says. She's like, just ignore that. He's like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
So yikes. Let's get into some ratings here. Stuart, who was simply the best this episode for you?
Okay. This might be controversial.
Oh no.
I'm going to give it to Roland.
Okay. Roland may be digging himself out of the LVP hole he's been in.
Mm-hmm. I think if someone who is actively been rude to you, who is trying to, or at least tried to sell the town in which you're the mayor of, and is actively working against you, and they come to you and they kind of explain their marital troubles that they're having, and you offer them not only your cabin, but their truck. I mean, that's a good thing to do. So I think Roland's going to get it this week.
Yeah, I was between two people. The person I'm not going to give it to, but had considered, was Bob, because I just thought him being courteous and letting them finish was so funny and, like, also kind in a very weird way. If you're controversial, I'm also controversial, because I'm giving my point to Roland as well. I feel the same exact way. Like, if he's going to, like, give up again, to me, the cabin is one thing, because if you're not staying there anyway, like, it's still a very nice thing to do, but it's like, whatever. But the truck too, like, that's, you're giving up your truck and cabin for an entire weekend, pretty much no questions asked, simply because they want a weekend away to have some, like, intimacy. That's a really kind gesture. So yeah, Roland deserves to get two MVP points this week.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. That's great.
He's simply the best this week. Unlike the disgruntled pelican, Stuart, who are you giving your disgruntled pelican point to?
Oh, there's a few. I mean, even though, like, short in appearance, Dane, Eric, like, they could quite easily get it. But, like, if we're going to go for someone that's around, I think I've got to give it to Alexis. And this is becoming a bit of a run. I don't know if I'm a fan of it, but I think I will give it to her still because she was pushing the buttons too much. And I'm sorry, but if someone organizes a game night, you do not turn it into a party.
David was very clear, right? He said it was a games night. She kept saying games night party. I'm also going to give Alexis my LVP point. And more so for the reason being, I thought it was kind of rude to bring up his eye twitch in front of everyone and to use it for a drinking game. He was like, why would you call that out in front of everybody? And like, I think that she doesn't necessarily respect that it's a shared space, both by the fact that she's a messy slob and because you're inviting strangers, not just to like a living room. This is your bedroom. This is everything. This is your entire living space. And Dane immediately goes and sits on David's bed. Like if I'm David, I'm pissed off. That's my bed. And Dane, you look nasty. You know?
Yeah. So. Completely. I love that we're in alignment there, but also the eye twitched five times. Drink up, bitches.
Drink up, bitches. So good. Unfortunately, we don't have a wig from Moira this week. Maybe next week. I want to say that we get more as time goes on. So maybe, you know, maybe that's why we haven't seen many. But in the meantime, let's talk some tier ranking here for our episode. We have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey For Me, EO David, and Shit Out Of Luck. As usual, we're on YouTube if you want to watch us with a visual component of this tier ranking. We have to decide where we're going to put the cabin, Stuart. Any first thoughts on where you want this to go?
I think this is the strongest episode we've had so far, completely, for like the jokes, for the pacing of it. There was no lull, like everything kind of felt like perfectly balanced. I kind of want to rate this really high. What about you?
I feel exactly the same way. I think this could be our first Full Bouquet episode. Mm-hmm. It feels like it is just that extra nudge above Love That Journey For Me because I feel like both plot lines are seamless. Like there's nothing I'd change about either of them. And so for that I think it belongs an above average, which would be Full Bouquet.
Yeah, I think we were ahhing a little bit last week over Bad Parents in terms of whether or not it was like just getting into Full Bouquet, and I was wanting to give it, but then you quite rightfully was saying, let's give ourselves some space to breathe for one of the ones coming up. And I think this is precisely why Full Bouquet it is.
Yeah, look at that. And look at it, it's kind of like a phallic shape, so it kind of works with this. where we are in this episode. So currently we have Nothing in Hot Shit. The Cabin falls under Full Bouquet. Love That Journey For Me has Bad Parents, The Drip, and Don't Worry, It's His Sister. And then EO David has The Pilot, Our Cup Runneth Over. So that's exciting. We got our first Full Bouquet episode. Again, like this is just season one. I have a feeling that like some of the later seasons, we're going to be having a lot of episodes fall in that category, if not higher. But next week we have another exciting episode. Stuart, would you like to know the title?
Yes, please.
It is called Wine and Roses.
Wine and Roses. W-I-N-E?
W-I-N-E, yes.
Vineyard, maybe? Maybe they can go to a vineyard?
Could go to a vineyard. Yeah. Could happen.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
We're also not alone next week. We're going to have our first guest on the podcast. Giving some validity to an American and a Brit covering a Canadian show. We're having one of our favorite Canadians, Melissa Woodward, on. So I'm really, really excited for her to talk about this episode with us because it's a really fun one. Spoiler alert, I really like next week's episode. So I can't wait to talk about it. Yeah,
I can't wait for Melissa to come in and correct us on absolutely everything that we've been doing wrong.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. And you know what we'll say to that? Sorry. I hate myself just a little bit, but that's okay. It was worth it.
Sorry, she's not here yet.
In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe at Talkin' Shit. Follow us on all social media and send in any feedback if you have any. Anything else, Stuart? Anything else you want to plug? Where can people find you?
Nothing really to plug. Just if you want to follow me on any of the socials, Stuart Drinks Tea. Yes, I am that much of a stereotype. Go find me anywhere with that kind of handle. And yeah, if you've got any feedback, like we said, send it in. We really do appreciate it, especially the ratings.
Yes. Meanwhile, you could find me on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me, where we're talking Buffy and Felicity, and then we have some bonus content coming up in April as well. We're going to be talking about The Mummy with Melissa also. So Melissa's just, she's everywhere this month.
Love The Mummy.
I've never seen it. So
what?
I know. Like, yes, I know of it. Like, I know vaguely that, like, Brendan Fraser's in it, right? And, like, I assume there's
a
mummy.
You know, it's, like, many, many, many people's, like, sexual and bisexual awakenings, like that.
No, I didn't. But now I'm excited.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Ooh, okay, fun. All right, well, that'll be on Shit 90 Shows Tommy, so go check that out. Yeah, and until next time, we still haven't figured out a sign off for this. Maybe go play in your tickle trunks until we see you next time. Okay, bye.